Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, God. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you. On a fabulous Friday morning with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching our show and all the shows here on ESPN Chicago. And it's good to have my partner here. It was really touch and go. Whether or not that Cap would be here this morning, because the traffic that you have to go through, my friend, it continues to build every day. It's never the same. It's never the same. How about this morning?
Hour and 15.
Barely making it in.
I mean, this used to take me 23 minutes.
Yeah, easy.
It's just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, then I got a wife who doesn't. It's all over me because I didn't know which bedroom was painted a certain color.
Well, I'm glad that you made it. Now let's talk about your home. What's going on there?
Okay. It's warm. You're aware of this. It's nice out. She likes things hot like a sauna. Mm. I'm in the bedroom. Dogs are panting. I'm like, Minnie, this is intolerable in here. We have this portable little air conditioner unit. Mm-hmm. And you put the little hose by the window, and it cools the room nicely.
Uh-huh.
Then we put it away for the winter. So she says to me at 10:30 last night, it's in the purple room. Mm-hmm. Which room is that?
Do you have a dentist appointment this morning? What is so funny?
My whole life is just funny.
Yes. It starts this morning, though. And then it just goes downhill after that.
Did you just get gas? Like, why are you? What is happening?
I don't know, to be honest with you. She says, it's in the purple room.
Uh-huh.
Which room is that? Are you serious? You don't know which bedroom is painted purple. No. You repainted those 2 years ago. Kids moved out. She made them guest rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any kids at home. One room's green, one room's yellow, one room's purple. Like an Easter theme, I guess, around the house. Huh? So she said, it's sitting right there in the purple room. You put it there last fall. Hun, I don't know which room is purple. She thinks that's just insane. She said, I go pick. You'll get it right. Of course, I didn't. I picked the green room. She thinks I'm out of my mind. I said, I don't go in these rooms. I haven't been in that room for 2 years. Kids moved out. Why would I be in those rooms? For what reason? Am I nuts?
Well, I guess the question I would have for you is that the room that she wants you to go into,
mm-hmm.
is it purple? What
yes.
color is it? It is purple.
It was purple,
okay.
Like lavender walls.
Okay. I guess my next question is, are you some sort of traveling salesman that you're never at home? Are you some coach that you never go to your home? Like Dave Wanstead coaching and sleeping on the couch and then comes home and says, "Hon, when do we get this piano? Dave, we moved in here with this piano." Oh, is that you, that you don't know the colors of your own
so
home?
So when the kids moved out, two are married and two others are not. When they moved out, she said, I'm going to turn these into guest rooms if her dad comes to stay or somebody going to stay at the house. Her sister, one room, I do whatever you want. I don't care. So I had no input, nor did I want any. I knew she picked one room was going to be like a light lavender. One was going to be green.
Mm-hmm. Because she wanted your home to look like an Easter egg.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And the rooms are very nice.
Cap, it's your home. This is you're the king of the castle. You're the one that wears the pants of the family. You should know every color of every room in your own home. I've been in your home. You should be able to know, like she says, the purple room. Okay, well, you just try a few doors.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
And I found it. It's not like it's that big.
Yeah, but eventually, though, you're not a dog. I mean, you should have just tried the room. She's like, you went to the wrong one.
Right.
So now she has a reason to get on you.
Correct.
Okay, well, I mean.
Then I get in the car, and I've got insane traffic, and Shay calls and says, oh, I'd be punching the window. I'd be. What am I supposed to do? I'm calm. Okay. I don't let it bother me.
All right. It's already 5 minutes in. The show's moving too fast. So let me just nail down on this point about the home.
Mm-hmm.
It is your home. You should know the colors of the walls in your own home. You're the king of the castle, for God's sakes.
Well, I know the colors of the family room and the main areas I go to.
Yes.
Family room, basement, kitchen, bedroom, bathroom. That's it.
Okay. I mean, those are the homes that you frequent, but the rooms that you frequent, but you got to know at least that, Cap. Don't you understand it? You have to bring the temperature down in your own home. Don't you understand that? You got to bring the temperature down because she'll just find a way. She'll just try to find a way to needle you. She's already resentful that you work with me and then you get home. Hey, what are you doing today, hon? I've already put my time in. Take that. Take that. What's happening at the racetrack? Television. Put your feet up and beverage in one hand, you know?
That's exactly what happens. I will come home yesterday.
Yes.
She's scurrying around. I got to go. I have a meeting at the office.
Hmm.
Hmm. She said, what are you going to do? I said, they're horse racing. That's exactly what I did.
Yes.
No Cubs game, no Sox game. Turned the TV on, started betting horses.
Mm-hmm. Well, have a good day.
Enjoy.
What about you? You're just going to sit around, dude. I put my time in, chick. I'm just telling you.
Right.
I put my time in.
Must be nice to work 3 hours a day.
It's not 3 hours.
Correct.
It's just what you hear on the air is 3 hours.
Correct. There's hours of prep.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
And bets to make.
Yes.
That's right. So you let her know. But again, lower the temperature in your home.
Should have taken broadcasting up, Mindy.
Oh, then she'd be broke.
Yeah.
Exactly. that's no good. I think that's the whole key. This lower the temperature. She's just doing it just as like a test. Don't let her test you. Man, you're living your best life right now. You got 3 hours. You got a little recap on YouTube. You got the rush hour. And you can put your feet up and make some bets while she does the work.
Correct.
You know, she's doing yeoman's work, Floyd Yeoman's work out there. So that's fine.
And as she was leaving, I said, what's for dinner tonight?
Could you imagine that? The temerity. She's working her
ass off. I ended
up
cooking dinner.
That's fine, but what's for dinner? No more Stouffer's this time.
And did you get the laundry? The laundry
done? Oh, Jesus. All right, Arch. Here we go. Archie, would you like a beer? Dingbat there. That's not, you don't want that. Now, let's circle back to your traffic woes. Now, you and I both have it. You have it way worse than I do.
Mm-hmm.
As I navigate around the Obama Library every day.
Yep.
I was telling Shay that the grids change. It's like you're playing a racing game where you go to different levels. Level one, you go through this. Oh, I made it. Now, level two, now it's a different route. Now, level three is a different route. Now, you can't take South Shore Drive. Now, you can't get past the... Now, you got to go up Stony Island. Nope, take the Ryan. So, it is problematic, but not as much as what you got to do, because you're sitting there.
Sitting.
Yes.
Literally not moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's... And Shay called, so we could talk about what we're going to do.
Yellow.
Cabby. And so, we get into all of it.
Hang on, that's not how you answered the phone this morning. This morning there was a little agitation. The minute you answered, you said something along the lines of, bleep this bleeping traffic, I'm just bleeping sitting here.
You did say
no, that. It was not a yellow situation this yellow. Morning.
No, I went, yellow, this effing traffic's just a joke. But I'm calm. You said... You sit in traffic and you want to punch the steering wheel and the window and you're I said, and what does that accomplish?
Well, he's hitting the steering wheel because...
I haven't hit it in 4 months.
So that's, I think that's the reason why he's hitting the steering wheel.
That's it. Yeah. A little retention still. Yeah. Bound up.
So there's a reason for that. No, I don't get angry. Well, I don't get angry. Of course you get agitated because you just want to be on the move. You feel like if you're just on the move, whether it's 45 miles an hour or if it's 60, you feel like, okay, at least I'm moving in the right direction. But when you're just bumper to bumper or going 5 or 10 miles an hour, yeah, it does get aggravating. Nothing you could do about it.
Right, so I'm calm. Got Yacht Rock Radio on, and I'm just jamming out.
Yeah. I didn't know KJM was playing Yacht Rock Radio. Good. They're playing their own music. That's good.
I listened to them for a while, and then...
You listen to them, okay?
And then I just...
so you were listening to them this morning. All right. Good. What are you talking about? Thoughts on their topics. Go ahead. I'll lay out and I'll listen. Go ahead.
They were talking about the Miami Heat Bulls game tonight.
Oh, they were?
They were.
Hmm.
Miami is a 52% chance,
wait a minute,
according to ESPN Analytics.
Wait a minute, Jay Moore. I don't get the half sad trombone now. There we go. Now we got the full trombone. Got a half trombone there. Half shorty. Can't do that.
But I don't let the traffic bother me. I don't.
But Shea has a problem with it, though.
He does.
And so, but where do you have that problem with it?
Anytime I'm sitting in traffic, it's a peak frustration for me. You know me. I have a short fuse.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I don't hold on to my anger well, and traffic's something that frustrates me more than watching Javi Baez play baseball, maybe.
Oh, my God. Jed Hoyer, he might win an award. Best contract not given out by a Chicago executive. Javi Baez, literally, offensively, he's still good defensively. Offensively, might be the single worst player in Major League Baseball. Single worst.
What does that say? What does that say for him? The highs of the highs and lows of the lows.
I mean, he's cashing huge checks, but do you know OPS Plus, you would like to be, league average is 100.
League average is 100.
100. Mike Trout, those guys are 160, 170, are like insanely good. If you're 130, 140, oh my God, you're all-star. Mm-hmm. He's a minus 7.
I didn't know the number went negative.
I didn't either.
I looked it up yesterday, and this is improved because he had a double yesterday. It was negative 24 entering the game.
Yeah.
And then he is standing on second with one out. Fly ball. He thinks there's two outs.
Mm-hmm.
They double him off. He comes to the dugout. And who's their manager? AJ Hinch. AJ Hinch pulls him down in the tunnel. You're done for the day. Rips the jersey out of his, tucked in, and now it's untucked. Grabs his stuff. Gone.
Chase percentage always up near the top of the league. This one to center. And Baez doesn't know how many outs there are. Another mistake by Javier Baez. Didn't get out of the box much on the double. Didn't really tag up last night from third, make any kind of effort on a fly ball. And I didn't know how many outs there were. Clearly thought there were two. Takes off as soon as it's hit. And A.J. Hinch can't be happy. This is A.J. Hinch saying to Javier Baez, come down the steps. Baez takes his hat off. I mean, he knows what this is about, obviously. Moments later, Baez comes up the steps. The seats are gone. The shirt's untucked. And he's out of the game.
Yeah, Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez on the call. That was the Toronto call of that game. And he has not been the same since the final days of him being a Chicago Cub. Because he struggled just like Rizzo, just like Baez, and just like the core did, because they could not get out of their own way. They were so putrid offensively, and he has not actually been the same since.
No.
He has not. I mean, you saw those games toward the end for that Cubs core, like barely scoring two runs a game. They have not been the same since, and he has not been the same.
It was, oh boy, if we had some vibe in there because of COVID, there's no fans and the Javi's. Stop. He hadn't been the same since 2019.
Pretty bad. Hey, the rumor mill is active again, Cap, when it comes to the Bears. We'll get to all of it coming up next. Some sound that you must hear next on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Here's hoping that you're going to have a great Friday and a great weekend on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We got Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock. We just want to let you know about this new Bears information that comes out. Now, again, Cap and I always speak with the proviso, West or East, that when you look at the Bears rumor mill, who really knows what unless you are in the room in Lake Forest? Who really knows what? All of his conjecture.
Correct. And, you follow different people who have been executives, Mike Tannenbaum or Greg Gabriel, any of these guys on Twitter, they all say, none of these mock drafts know anything, and these rumors about talks are usually, not always wrong, but usually not based in real substance. I saw a tweet the other day, the real talks start 2 to 3 days before the draft, unless you were moving the number one pick a month early like the Bears did. But he said, there are talks, hey, if that guy's on the board at 8, we're going to try and go from 12 to 8, we'll trade for your pick. But he goes, those talks don't go on weeks in advance. They just don't.
Daniel Jeremiah, who's been in the National Football League as a general manager, works for the NFL Network as an analyst, has talked about the Bears ad nauseum. And the latest thing that he mentioned, Cap, is that he's talking about how Jeremiah on resetting the Bears quarterback by trading Justin Fields next season. So maybe looking for a new quarterback, maybe a trade. Listen.
If he's there at 9 and you took Anthony Richardson, if you're the Bears, first of all, everybody's jaw would hit the floor. They'd be shocked. But let me make the case where it could make some sense. Reset the quarterback clock by 2 years. So you buy 2 more years to be able to live off of a rookie deal. The roster is going to be in much better shape for a quarterback incoming than it was for Justin Fields when he started his career. So if you're trying to maximize that 5-year window on that rookie contract, you've reset it. You've got a larger window. You've got a better team now than you did 2 years ago. You're going to have to pay Justin here coming up before the team is really, really good and ready to win. You extend that period out. You could then trade Justin and get some draft capital in return. I don't know what that would look like. I mean, worst case scenario, you're getting a 2. Maybe you get a future 1. You already have all these extra picks. You've already picked up DJ Moore. We've reset the quarterback clock. We get extra picks for Justin Fields. Now, I know in Chicago with the fan base, they've grown attached to Justin, and Justin's done some fun things to watch with what he's done with his legs and glimpses and flashes with his arm. But, Buck, I'm telling you, man, like, has he done enough to not even, consider this? Maybe they don't do it, but I guarantee you this discussion and this scenario, this conversation has to take place.
I'm sure that it might have come across the desk of Ryan Poles, but again, you can't tell me, Cap, that there's someone in this draft at the quarterback position that is better than Justin Fields. Nobody in this draft, to me, at this point in time, we've said this many times. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you. In theory, what you're saying is right.
I can only go by the college games I've seen and then Justin as a pro.
Patrick Mahomes slipped to 10.
Yeah.
Now looking back, how the hell was he not the number one pick, right?
Yeah.
Look at the number of teams in that draft in 2017. Bears didn't take him. Big miss. They take Trubisky.
Yeah.
The Browns have 2 in the top 5. They didn't have Baker Mayfield. They got him the next year. They didn't take him. The Buffalo Bills didn't have Josh Allen. They traded that pick to Kansas City. When the owner said, why don't you take the Mahomes kid? Nah, we're not good enough. And they moved the pick. There were a bunch of teams that passed them. Carolina, a bunch of them.
Okay.
So you could say there's no one in this draft that's better. 3 years from now, we might go, holy bleep, Bryce Young's the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. On paper, there's no one that you're willing to get rid of our guy to take that shot.
Cap, I can only speak for April 14th, 2023. I can only do one show today.
Correct.
And that's this show. And I will tell you today, based on, and again, I based this on what I saw in college football with the quarterbacks that should be taken in the first round and Justin Fields. Justin Fields in this draft would be the number one quarterback. Justin Fields would be the number one quarterback out of this field. How do I know that? I've seen him in the NFL. Armed with what I know about Justin Fields and his ability and what his future should be, because I don't see a ceiling on his success like Daniel Jeremiah and others do. Daniel Jeremiah's opinion is the same one as our guy from ESPN.
Tannenbaum
said the same thing. We played this like a couple of months ago. He'd also trade Justin Fields to try to get a quarterback in this draft.
Well, he would have taken Bryce Young at one if he was the Bears and not moved the pick.
That's why he's on ESPN.
Correct.
Because I wouldn't have done that. Absolutely not. I wouldn't have done that. So but here's what I think.
How many GMs do you think? You've dealt with a lot of these dudes, so have I.
Yeah.
How many GMs of the 32 current general managers today, if you said Justin Fields is in this draft, would take Justin at one, not Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud?
I think the majority of them would.
Really?
That's sort of not what the conversation is, though, because are you drafting Justin Fields as he is now with the 3 years left?
Yes. I can only base it on that.
If that's the case, like, I do think we have to also frame it from, if we don't think and the Bears don't think, we know Ryan Poles is playing the long game. Whatever I want, it doesn't matter. Ryan Poles seems to be playing the long game and pushing his chips out a little further with the way he's managed the cap and some of the priorities he said he's having in the draft. If you don't think you're going to be ready to win a Super Bowl until 2 years from now, don't you kind of have to start to ask the question, like, what's Fields going to be then compared to what's a Bryce Young or an Anthony Richardson or going to be 3 years from now? Like, if you think the ceiling is higher on one of these guys, yeah, you're drafting a worse player now, but maybe you think the potential's bigger.
With the pro or the college players, it's still the great unknown. You don't know if there's growth in Justin Fields. I think there is. You think there is. But again, overall, we really don't know. We based it on look at what you had to deal with. You did the best that you could with that roster, with those teammates. And so now with talent, now this will be the litmus test to find out who Justin Fields is. Because it should be better. The offensive line should be better. And even next year, the Bears are not going to be where they need to be.
No.
Because you still need to click. And you still need to come together, both sides of the football. But I guess my ultimate overarching point on this, Cap, is that maybe guys like Jeremiah or Tannenbaum, they say, well, where are the Bears going anyway? You're not going to the playoffs in 24. You may not go there in 25. So why not reset the quarterback clock and bring a kid in? I'm sure that's what they're looking at. Or they look at Justin Fields and say, well, that's the best you could do. Well, if you think that that's the best Justin Fields is, then I think that you're daft. Because look at what he had to deal with. They were not game changers on that roster offensively for Justin to work with. I mean, they put that offense together with Elmer's glue and tongue depressors to try to keep that thing together outside of his running game. Stop.
So if I said
to
you,
is that fair or not?
It is. I agree with your opinion. If I said to you, wow, the Bears actually have there's a way that they get two more years on Justin's rookie contract. So now he's even with all the dudes in this draft.
Yeah.
Of 32 general managers, how many would take Justin at number one over Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud?
I think the majority of them would.
So 20 of them?
Yeah.
Shay, how many you think would take Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud after Justin? That Justin would be the number one pick if he had two more years on his rookie deal.
Oh, you only get the two more years in the option year?
You get the same thing. He's treated as a rookie this year.
Well, then, yeah, he'd go number one. He's the better player right now. But if you are drafting, like, the contracts, nobody's taking Fields and only getting 2 years plus an option year over a guy you get 5 years and you get to build him from the ground up.
I don't think
anybody would.
Anybody?
The 5 years is too attractive. You get the 5 years yourself and the option year. That's why I think there's no way Poles isn't at least thinking about this. If there's a situation, and again, all of our jaws would be on the floor. If Anthony Richardson's there at nine, not even like the guy, but if I'm a GM, I get 5 years of control. instead of three with a guy I didn't pick?
Yeah, but that's
there's
the
no
same nonsensical take that the Cubs front office had. We're going to trade for Quintana. You see the contract? The contract doesn't go to the mound of pitch. And 5 years of control, if he's not good, doesn't mean blank.
All I know is like the same, you know, the same rant that you have about Lauri Markkanen, you should have for Justin Fields. You don't give up on young talent.
I agree with you.
Mold and shape young talent. Yeah, listen, if those quarterbacks are in the draft, they're going to be if they're going to be better than Justin Fields in a couple years, then hats off. But I got a young quarterback, and if he's just not it, he's just not it.
Well, I think you're going to know not even 12 months. Next December.
Yeah.
If the Bears are 4-13 and he did not have a good year, they're going to draft a quarterback.
And rightfully so. But you got to give the guy a chance with
some talent.
With talent. And he does have talent.
Agreed.
Now, but some, like Jeremiah and others, is like, you see Fields out there? Man, he's no better than Lamar Jackson. He's no better than some of these quarterbacks that can't get the ball down the field. And if he's not running, he's not being able to get that offense moving. Well, we'll see, won't we? We'll see with talent, won't we?
I kept saying to Shea, and I think you did too, Shea, you thought they could turn this more quickly. Ryan is not of that belief. You could, just by his actions.
Which is exactly my point. And like maybe you start looking at 5 years for a quarterback helps more. Because then when we are ready to go, we still have him on the rookie deal.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Shay, let's open the phone lines. Let's let people talk about our conversation. Your thoughts on whether the Bears still have to consider moving Fields. You heard from Daniel Jeremiah moments ago. What do you think? We got more Bears rumors as well as we move forward here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox and Cubs both had the day off yesterday and back in action today. The Northsiders will play the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight, while the Sox will host the Orioles on the south side. It's Sox and Orioles. It's a 5:30 pregame and a 6:10 first pitch right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. It was a curtain call for Jonathan Toews last night as he lived up to the moment with the goal in his final game as a Blackhawk. Blackhawks lost in overtime to the Philadelphia Flyers. Dan and Tanya Snyder have reached a preliminary deal to sell the Washington Commanders. The Tampa Bay Rays rallied from a 3-1 deficit with 7 runs in the 5th inning to get a 9-3 win over the Boston Red Sox, their 13th win in a row, tying the modern MLB record for consecutive wins to start a season. Jay Moore.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and also on the ESPN Chicago app, the same ESPN Chicago app which you can find the unnamed MMA podcast with Jordan Sherwood and Adam Abdallah. You need more MMA? It's hotter than ever. Check it out. MMA coverage on the ESPN Chicago app. So we're talking to you about the Bears only in this regard because there's still more in the rumor mill when it comes to the Bears because the draft's right around the corner. It'll take place on April 27th. Cap, from I saw this on NBCSportsChicago.com. A new report suggests that Jalen Carter won't fall past the Bears if he's still on the board when they are on the clock with the number 9 pick. This comes from Matt Miller from ESPN.com.
Linebacker for the, used to be run the Lions.
No, that's not Matt Millen. Matt Miller.
Oh, Matt Miller.
Yes.
Sorry.
No. If you're looking for Matt Millen, look for three wide receivers behind him that he'll draft in a row.
I was trying to be you.
Nonetheless, Miller says that they said to value him highly, Carter. But again, it's a circular conversation that we've had for a while here, Cap. You have to decide, like, if you've done your due diligence and you've talked to Carter and you feel like, okay, you can't put death behind you. You can't do that.
Nope.
That you're involved in. But can you improve your life from here? What are your goals besides football? Because now, because of what happened in that life event that he was involved in Athens, it's more than just football. How do you handle your life away from football? That's a big question.
So I think it's naive to think that you're going to draft this kid at 9. He couldn't get through his pro day and think he's going to play at a Pro Bowl level as a rookie. he's 22, just turned 22. Mm-hmm. If you're telling me at age 25 they've built him into an all-pro, he's certainly got the ability to be able to do it. But there's got to be a level of patience in a football-mad city that is going to expect he's Jalen Carter. He should be Ndamukong Suh from the get-go.
Right.
He's not. He's not going to be Aaron Donald, folks, year one. It's going to take time.
Outside of the value, Miller says, Carter would be a great fit in the middle of that defensive line for the Bears. Well, yeah, well, water's wet, of course. Well, yeah, we thought that before we found out about the accident.
What is he, 6'5", 315, yeah. 320, athletic?
Hey, I know what the book is on him. I just know I watched him, and I thought he was a spectacular player.
But did you ever question his motor as a Georgia fan?
I did not, because here's the issue. If Carter did take plays off, others picked up the slack.
Yeah, Nolan Smith, who now, one of the mocks I just saw, like a reliable one, not... You know, some maniac sitting out on the beach smoking a joint going, here's my mock draft. I'm talking about, like, one of the big names has Nolan Smith gone before the Bears ever pick at 9.
Hold on a second. Is that how mock drafts are written? You get on a beach, you write a mock draft smoking weed, and then send it in to the editor?
You put it on your blog, and everyone goes, oh, my God. The Bears are doing what? No.
Shay, you may look at football differently than I do, especially college football, because – if we're watching college football, if it's not your team, if it's not Michigan State, or if it's not my team, Georgia, it starts to blend in, right? When I saw Georgia's defense, I said, Jalen Carter is a good player, but I thought the defense was excellent because if Carter did take plays off, others would step in there. Now, Leonard Floyd was the same way. Leonard Floyd was never, I never thought he was going to be a great player. He'd be around the pile, not the reason for it, as I always told you.
That was your line. I heard that at night. You were doing nights then.
Yeah. So
he would be around the pile, not the reason for the pile.
Right. He did, I mean, half tackler in there. But ultimately, when you're blessed to be around a really solid defense, this is what happens. You're like, oh, you're part of this defensive line? We got to put you in the draft because you're part of something special. That's how that usually works.
Isn't that kind of a perfect argument against taking him?
I'm telling you that teams will look at Jalen Carter and look at the things he did do on tape and say, here's what he did well. We can enhance that. That's the whole thing with the evaluation process. Listen to Cap. Cap will look at someone and say, yeah, he can work on that. He can work on that, but we could fix that. But we can be able to accentuate the positives and hide the negatives of said athletes.
You always believe that.
Yeah.
Same thing with Jalen Carter. You always believe it.
Yeah.
You walk into a school and go, oh, met St. Francis de Sales. I'm a football recruiter. Oh, who's the big guy? Jonathan Hood. I can make him a three technique.
Yeah.
No, he hates football. I'm in the band. You see the size of him? I can make a player out of him.
Come here, son.
Right. What are you doing in the band?
Oh, I like the drums.
Yeah, no. You're a football player from this day forward.
It's too violent.
Right.
Like Curly.
It's never going to work.
Be like Curly from the Three Stooges.
Right.
Or like Shemp, actually.
Right. Or you'd get a kid who's got kicked out of that school. He flunked out of that. I can reach him. No.
Ken in Aurora, Colorado, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, leads us off. Good morning, Ken. Ken.
Hey, can you hear me?
You hear you now, yeah.
We hear you loud and clear, Kenny.
Can hear you through the mountains.
I apologize. How are you guys doing today?
We're great. Want to hear your thoughts about what are your thoughts on draft
My apologies. I would, first of all, I want to say, I think those guys that say that they want draft Fields, they're so full of Jeter. It's unbelievable. I mean, seriously, I would take... What?
That's a shot shot at the captain?
Boy, full of Jeter.
Wait a minute.
His number was number two, and he was the second best shortstop behind Cal Ripken. So I call him, I say, full of Jeter. But
hey, good to hear from a KJM caller. That's wow. Good. All right, What else do you have?
Wow. Fields has proven he's out of these guys coming out now, yep, that he would be the best. Okay, I just see that from what I've seen out of them and from him. if you had the 5 years of control. Number two, if Jalen Carter's there, I would take him at number nine.
And you have no concerns about any of the red flags with this guy. There are teams that have taken him off their draft board that will not draft him.
Here's why. Because after what happened with everything, with the accident and everything, I think that he was not ready for the pro day, but he was ready there. It was time for him to do it. I don't think he was ready for it because he was still in shock and whatever after what happened, and he was not ready for that. And he's only 21 years old. I would still take that chance. That's me. I think he's that much of a generational talent. Unless Nolan Smith is there, then I would take him instead. Otherwise, I would take Jalen Carter. That's my take on the whole thing.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it.
Ken, we appreciate the telephone call.
Yeah. Again, we're not privy to all the homework that Ryan is doing, polls. If you were a Hall of Fame executive, or if you're Howie Roseman, he's not in the Hall of Fame, but like I have in front of me, NFL.com just ranked the general managers. Howie Roseman is the number one GM in football.
Exactly right.
Brett Veach at Kansas City is number two. Duke Tobin at Cincinnati is three. Brandon Bean at Buffalo is four. John Lynch is listed at five. They don't even give Ryan Poles a rating. Too young. Yeah, too new.
Too young.
The highest rated in the division? Who do you think the highest rated GM in the division is? That is the guy in Detroit, Brad Holmes. Mm-hmm. Number one. He's eighth, or seventh. And Brian Gutekunst at Green Bay is eighth. If you're a guy with that kind of cachet, you're John Schneider in Seattle, you could take Jalen Carter, and if it doesn't work, we tried. We rolled the dice, and it came up snake eyes. We tried. Ryan Poles, his first ever number one pick? Boy, that's risky.
A salute to the captain next on Captain J-Hood.
Welcome back to Captain J-Hood Experience.
Good, Jim.
Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN
Chicago.
6 days is on the ice for Chicago. Puck comes to Keith. And now Holsa. Tays with a shot. He scores! With a minute 50 remaining, it is a one-goal game. Down to 40 seconds. Around it comes to Bolson and met by Shaw. Tays shot in front of the star! Jonathan Tays ties it with 37 seconds remaining.
Got it onto the back, Jalmerson. Jalmerson, deep slot with a shot. To cross down, it's Hossa. Hossa with a shot. Clawed off. Rebound. Trapped down. Score! It's Taves. 1-0.
The memories of Jonathan Taves. No longer a Chicago Blackhawk, played his last game against the Flyers last night at the United Center. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Cap, when you live in the moment as a kid or as a young adult, you say, man, sports will never be better than this. Right. As I grew up on the South Side, listening to Blackhawks games, listening to Foley do it solo, by the way, on those games back in the day. I said, boy, things will never be better than Dennis Savard and Al Secord and Steve Larmer and Bernie Batterman. I said, as a South Sider, boy, the Sox will never be better than seeing Bo Jackson on the team and seeing Harold Baines on the team, watching the Cubs. You know, the Cubs will never be better than watching the great Ryne Sandberg and Greg Maddux pitch. And then with the Blackhawks, as I mentioned, those 80s teams, those, as an 80s kid, the Orville Tessier teams, those are my teams. Those are the teams I remember. They didn't get to the Stanley Cup championship, but that's what I remember. And then you get to this generation of the Hawks, and you go, you mean they're better than Savard and Secord and Larmer and all those guys? So just hats off, because I never thought Blackhawks hockey could be this great, and we saw it in this era.
You realize just how difficult it is to accomplish winning one title. Three in a salary cap era? Tip your cap to all that went into putting that whole thing together. Jonathan Taves will go down as one of the greatest captains in the history of all Chicago sports. Look, Michael's at a different level. He's Michael. Beyond that, name me another guy that was as impactful in the room, on the ice, or on the playing field as this guy. Like, I love Olin Krutz. Amazing captain.
Yep.
They didn't win a championship. They got to one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He and Urlacher were captains. Anthony Rizzo, he was not the captain, but the de facto captain of that team. They won once. This guy won three times with the six All-Stars, won the Conn Smythe as the playoff MVP, won a Selke trophy. He won a gold medal, three Stanley Cups. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's listed as one of the 100 greatest NHL players in the history of the sport. And he's probably one of the 10 most accomplished athletes to ever play for a Chicago team.
Great job by NBC Sports Chicago to really capture the moment, getting isolated video of Taves, how he was kind of soaking it all in, kind of just giving a little head nod to the fans. Because there's a lot of Taves sweaters at the arena, signs to thank Jonathan Taves. So I think he was really appreciating the moment.
Yeah, I thought Pat Boyle did a magnificent job hosting all the coverage yesterday. They had Danny Wirtz on. They had Kyle Davidson, the GM, on. Then they carried all of the Jonathan Taves between periods. They had Sharpie in the booth with Chris Vosters, and he was emotional. And then Taves, I'm not worthy of all this. I'm just trying to soak it in. My guys wanted me to take another lap, so I did. I just thought they did not miss a moment.
Yeah.
And some of those highlights, the one they didn't show that I wanted them to, if you go back to the Detroit series in 2013, I believe it is, he picked up, like, penalties. Like, penalty, come out of the box, another penalty. And Seabrook went into the penalty box and had a talking to with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out and scored a goal, and the Hawks ended up winning that series in seven. And it was amazing. That guy's impact on Chicago sports, it would be very hard to duplicate.
Hats off, Captain, to a great career of the Chicago Blackhawk. I don't know what happens after this, whether it's retirement or a different team, but you'll always be an all-time great, not just Blackhawk, all-time great Chicago sports athlete. In 2 minutes, we got Shot or No Shot right here on Cap and J-Hood.